Welcome to the Not Safe for Work Romance Podcast, where authors take you behind the scenes in our little corner of the romance writing world. I'm Shane Sterrett.
And I'm Eris Adderley, and we write the kind of books that embarrass you in front of your relatives. Our episode today, Writers and Current Events, The Thin Red Line. Can writers really express their feelings about current events? With the inherent risk of offending readers, is it better to just remain neutral? Do politics, religion, and all those other touchy subjects cause too much friction, and not the good kind, in the relationships between romance authors and readers? And what about those moments when the hot current event is part of the reading and writing world itself, or even worse, another author's name is in the news? Just how open can writers afford to be with their audience? Jane, I know this is a thing that comes up on the daily in our lives.
Honestly, it seems to. I'm speaking as if I've been in this community for like years and years and years. But in the short time that I have been in the writer's world, it comes up consistently. It's like, I don't want to say like clockwork, but it is a reoccurring thing. And it is something I never expected. I will be honest with you. The romance community by and large is so empowering and such a soul-fulfilling community. And yet we have this. It's unavoidable. You can't bury your head in the sand and pretend it doesn't exist, because it does, and it comes up. And honestly, not always, more time often than not in a good way either. So before we get to diving into that, though, I would like to talk about a few things that we discussed very briefly in our last episode. And that was things like we had discussed, did we want to try to do these podcasts as a live video? I know both you and I have spent a lot of time researching podcasts and looking at podcasts. And one of the things that we both talked about is a lot of people do them, you know, like a talking head sort of version of the podcast. And I know we talked about possibly doing that this year. And because of things that have happened in both of our lives, we really haven't had a chance to even do a podcast until now.
But it's been a hot minute.
I know. Yeah.
Since we have gotten together.
I know.
Spoken on the phone.
And it's not in a way that it's made me terribly happy either, because I love doing this and I love talking with you, as you well know.
Yeah, y'all, we tried to record this last week and we just ended up jawing for 2 hours, and then we're like, well, let's just try it again next time.
Right. Especially given the fact that right now with my day job, I'm doing a lot of traveling, and it was like, okay, I would love to stay and talk for 2 more hours.
You're like, I got to get up at the crack of dawn.
Goodbye. Right, exactly. And drive 125 miles and then drive 125 miles back after I'm done with my job. So yeah, that didn't happen. But I think we do want to try to do some live video. It's going to be something that we try. I think we need...
I'm in favor of some video content. We might try to do some in my opinion, I think we ought to try some pre-recorded video content first and see how it goes.
Exactly.
See what all the processing is involved. I think the live will be step two, only because of one thing and one thing only. And that thing was part of the thing throwing us off last week, which was that, for anyone listening, I live in the middle of nowhere and the internet here sucks. And so a live video is going to entail even more bandwidth necessary. And, you know, the point is we need to see how it goes.
Yeah.
Because, you know,
we need to make sure that, right. We need to make sure that our technical challenges have been overcome before we're not going to do it live. In other words, it'll be pre-recorded. Definitely the first session, and maybe a few sessions even after that, just to make sure we can get through those, technical difficulties if they arise.
Yeah, if I want Shane to see pictures of me, I gotta like draw them and send them to him in the mail.
Oh my
like
God.
That's how it's gonna happen.
It's not quite that bad, but yeah, we have, and it's not the first time we've run into that too. It's happened before, so it's just something that we have to deal with.
Yeah, so we'll test it out, but definitely would like to get into some occasional video content. I know y'all are dying to stare at us while we do this.
Oh yeah. Oh my God. I'm sure that even now as this is being listened to, people are clicking that. I think I need to unsubscribe here.
I was just thinking too. I'm like, it would be a good idea if we were going to do it live. Oh, I'll just do it in front of my bookshelves. That's appropriate. I'm like, nope, not in that room. You're not going to record. That's a acoustic nightmare.
Right. Interviews. We're going to be doing some more interviews with other authors. We did three. I think we did all three in our last season. Atasky, Jennifer and Livia, and also Misha. I believe that was all last season, and we'd love to do, and we are going to be doing some more. We've had contacted several people. We've gotten positive feedback. We just need to work out the details and the timing on that.
And I really enjoy those myself. Those are fascinating. Even authors that I'm already, they're on my radar. We're friends. Still learning all kinds of new things about them.
Oh my gosh, yes.
So it's very, especially since most of us are introverts and we just don't get to learn those things, especially not when we're at conventions and things like that where we meet in person. There's no time to get into all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, when we're at shows, at signings and conventions and whatnot, we really don't have the time to actually sit down and talk. We end up, I don't want to say working, but you know what I mean. We're doing things that are pertinent to the show that we're at, things that we're
just being busy shuttling from place to place to place. It's like, oh, I gotta be here. I gotta go to this ballroom. Oh, we're all meeting for dinner. We're doing that.
We don't have the time to actually sit down and have like adult conversations.
We're somewhere and it's loud and it's like, okay, there's no real.
And we're having work conversations or we're having people that are coming up to us wanting to engage. So it was every one of those that we did last year was perfect in that regard because we were actually able to just talk about things. And I found that it was nice. We've asked for listener input about topics that we want to discuss for the future. I personally have not seen anything from anyone. So we're just going to barrel ahead on our own, I guess.
I say, y'all don't worry because we got a whole list.
That's right.
Not hurting for topics to talk about. We need to get ourselves to make it more compact. I mean, that's the whole point of this podcast as you and I agreed. If we get in the same place, we cannot stop talking.
Right.
Have to have outside interference to stop.
Right. Exactly. I have to have things like, oh, I got to drive 2 hours in the morning at, 4 a.m. I mean, we'll we've talked about that. And that's one of the things I think we're starting with this episode where we're going to try to keep the timeline down to a more under 2 hours, like an hour and plus, but not 2 hours. And I think that'll make it more engaging for our listeners. I know for us, it will be a little bit more difficult because we do tend to go on and we love the subjects that we talk about in this podcast. So what we're going to try.
I think that'll be a good compromise for people listening or people deciding if they want to listen, because some of the folks who have been listening, obviously if they've made it this far, they are in favor of a long form podcast. That's something you put on while you're working or puttering around the house or, taking a walk, what have you. But people who may not have listened yet, we have some concerns. Maybe they look at that episode list and go, holy crap, two hours.
Yeah.
Nobody got time for that.
Right. They're intimidated by it. It's like, oh my gosh.
So let's, not like an hour is a whole ton better, but it's better than 2 hours, I guess. So we're going to try to come down to the middle and see how we do.
That's right. And then we're going to be doing some more audience interaction, like we discussed, with online discussions, perhaps call-ins, games, things like that. Engaging our audience to either give us more ideas or just to be more interactive with what we're doing. I mean, honestly, like we just talked about, you and I could sit here and talk on all the subjects that we've outlined for hours. And I love talking with you. You engage my intellectual side in ways that like going to my job doesn't. And I
can't even imagine. I just can't even fathom how I'm engaging anyone's intellectual side, but whatever. I'll take it, man.
Here we go. But I'm just not even going to.
I'm just saying, I don't understand myself. I got to be honest. Sometimes it's like, I'll read a paragraph I write and be like, man, yeah, you fucking nailed that. That's beautiful. That's awesome. And then in the same day, I'll put my shirt on backwards twice in a row. Like, I'll put it on backwards and then take it off and try to fix it, and it's still inside out or something. It's like, that's, I'm the same person doing that. So I'm just like, how am I allowed out in public? Like, how am I allowed to drive
that,
a car?
That's and all of that is a subject for another podcast.
I know. I'm just making,
because
I'm just adding some levity here.
So we're going to be doing all of those things as we continue through the balance of this season. But tonight we are talking about writers and current events. And
yes,
one of the things that I think, like we very briefly discussed at the beginning, is that there's a lot that goes on within the romance community. And a lot of it does revolve around authors, writers. And I think that one of the things that I've discovered as I've watched these things happen is not all of them, but some of them definitely spring up out of a author or writer, even if it's offhand, expressing an opinion about something. And I know we said current events, but it doesn't even have to really be a current event. It can just be about, like you said in the opening, religion, politics. I mean, politics is a big one. Lord knows the past 5 years, it's been a huge hot button subject. Things like that. And I don't know about you, Eris, but I want to stay engaged with my readers. And one of the ways that we do that is through social media. And
now, this is really the most, at this point, we're the most accessible, I don't want to say generation, because there are people of, all different living generations that are authors and writing currently. But I would say at this point in history is probably the most accessible time for authors in terms of readers being able to interact with them. I mean, when I grew up, there was always the cliche, recluse author.
Yeah.
Listen, I am a recluse author. I never leave the house, but I also have the internet. So
yeah,
I still am interacting with people all day long, all the time.
Right.
And which sometimes it's too much, but
right. Multiple ways of interacting. You have Instagram, you have Facebook, you have Twitter, you have Discord channels.
There's so many platforms. And I think that especially for authors of entertainment fiction, like genre fiction and stuff, I think the expectation is that you are going to be accessible, or at least to have a presence, even if that consists of like, I don't want to do anything, but I'm going to hire a PA and they're going to like post to my Facebook page every now and then or something like that.
Absolutely.
Tweet some innocuous stuff for me. But the expectation is that readers will be able to find you and follow you on whatever platform.
And potentially engage with you. And
exactly.
And it's when you start engaging, which I love because I'm a extrovert more than I am an introvert. I love engaging with my readers. But there's a risk. There's a risk involved with that. And it's something that I dance around a lot. I recently had an instance where I had someone come on to my Facebook page and made a statement. And I said, well, I don't necessarily agree with that. And I made a counter statement and thought that it would just remain neutral. Like, you expressed your opinion, I expressed my opinion.
And, oh, good Lord, no. They decided someone was wrong on the internet.
Right. And it never blew up as much as I've seen this sort of thing blow up on other authors' pages. But it did, to the point where
it got weirder than you would have liked, I imagine. I personally did not. I did not see this. I was not aware of it. Maybe offline you could tell me the details, but...
But the thing is you probably didn't, and you wouldn't, because I shut it down within, I would say, 3 hours of it. The post was made. I responded. The response from this other person began to snowball and become more aggressive, for lack of a better term. And I said,
putting the kibosh on this.
Right. And I did. But that's the whole point, is if we were at a cocktail party, I would have simply said, wow, you're entitled to your opinion and I respect that. I've enjoyed having this brief conversation with you, and I would have walked away. And that would have been the end of it, right? Unless that person was so aggressive that they would have followed after me and, you know, oh no, you've got to listen to me, something like that. I would have just walked away. Same thing, even if this was happening in the park or something like that. But online, short of doing what I did and having to shut the thread down, you can't do that. You can't walk away. Because
yeah, like that thread of connection is still there. It's unsevered. Like it, you know, unless you said you take the whole post down or mini side commentary. I don't understand on Facebook if you post on your own wall that you can't turn off commenting on your own post.
I know. Is that not weird?
It seems super dumb. I had a post recently that it wasn't political. It was completely like innocuous, like home improvement stuff. And it was a whole thing. I ended up taking the post down and it wasn't like, I'll tell you about that later. But the point was that I got to a point with the comments. I was like, all right, that's, we're taking this down. But yeah. I was like, I can't turn these off. It's my wall. Like you can turn off commenting on posts in groups or on your pit, whatever. Anyway, the point being is you gotta stop it.
Exactly. And this is exactly why I've been very careful since then. And I actually had several conversations based upon that post with other authors. You know, I said, did I handle that correctly? Was I out of line? You know, here, I was worried about how I was coming across. So here I am responding to somebody. And I was told I did it in a very polite and nice way. And it still blew up. I handled it the way I thought I should handle it. And then I still felt bad afterwards.
Well, I think you're a person who is considerate of other people. Like, you don't want to be that guy who's out there being an asshole on purpose. You know what I mean? And you know, obviously we all reach our level and then we're like, all right, that's it. You know, the gloves are coming off. But for yourself and probably me, that's like way down the road. Like, for the most part, trying to avoid BS conflicts. I mean, even in my Bruce Wayne life, but especially in my author life and, you know, my Batman profile, as I like to call it, you know, not trying to have conflicts show up on there. So I know that you're, again, I didn't see it, but I can't imagine you posting it like a first response to something that was anything but like neutral and polite.
Right.
Like agree to disagree kind of stuff.
Exactly. Well, I think I used that exact term. I said, I think we'll have to agree to disagree. The point being, though, is that I worried about it because I thought, oh my gosh, you know, did I come across as an asshole? Okay, so let's assume that everybody wasn't blowing smoke up my ass and they said, no, you handled it fine. But then it still was something where I was like, there are people out there, though, who saw that, who now that I've closed the thread down, I sort of shut off my opportunity to see if they responded by like, well, you know, I have to agree with so-and-so. I think you're wrong. I don't know.
Like, you have to think about it. Oh, it's out there now. So it's
right. And those people,
are people thinking X about it? Are they thinking Y? What portion of the people looking, you know, is it like everybody thinks I'm an idiot? Or is it only like 5% of people that have like really outlier opinions on whatever this issue is? And like, you just happen to catch the eye of someone who is, that's how they engage on the internet. Like, they can't just scroll. They got to like argue with everybody.
Exactly.
The personality type, you know, and maybe you just caught one of those type of fish that day. You don't know.
Right. And I still don't. And so I went into this spiral of thinking, oh God, I need to really watch myself and censor myself. And I did, I've got to censor myself. I have really got to get better at just not responding. And then a day or two later, as I talked with more people and I started thinking about it, it's like, damn it, though, that negates the entire purpose of me trying to build my quote unquote brand.
Right.
And where I want to be accessible to my readers and I want to engage with them and I want to have these conversations. And so here I am. I was just, this Ouroboros chasing my own tail, like, I can't do that anymore, but I want to because it's important and I need to build my brand. But you can't do that because you might upset someone and you don't know what other people were thinking. And oh my God, maybe you were in the wrong. And it was just, it took me a while to basically calm myself down and say, no, you are an author, you have an audience, you do want to engage with them, you can't let one person stop you, you know, or, you know, bring you to a screeching halt where you don't say anything anymore because they disagreed with you in one post. But that being said, it still happened. I still had those thoughts. I still, even now, I still worry about it in the sense that I really, really, really have to stop and think about what I'm going
to say. Is it worth it to post this?
Yes.
Is it worth it to make this comment?
Yes, exactly.
And I mean, some, you know, maybe some, again, everybody's value system, like their individual value system is going to be different. So, yep. You know, for some people, maybe it is worth it to say the thing. It's important enough for them to comment on or stand up for some certain issue, and they don't care whether it pisses people off or not.
Absolutely.
I mean? But I will say this is a thing that, like, in general, I do have strong opinions about, because you see this with people who are, and again, I'm a nobody author, but like the point, public figures, accessible entertainers, writers or actors or artists or musicians, whatever. Someone will make a statement politically or make a commentary, and suddenly out of the woodwork comes, and it's always people that disagree with them. It's never like, no one who's in their camp is ever coming at it with this approach, but here comes everybody. You're an actor. You need to stay in your lane. Stop yes. talking about politics. Don't comment on this stuff. That's not, you know, again, stay in your lane.
Right.
And my opinions about that are like, okay, the person's an actor, they're a musician, they're not a politician for a living, they're not a policy wonk, they're not a lobbyist, they're not engaged directly in that for their job. However, I mean, we're all human beings that have opinions on value systems in the world, morals, that kind of thing. We're all citizens of whatever country we live in. You know what I mean? Like, we all expected to go vote.
Yeah.
It's like, obviously we're expected to have an opinion and do something with that opinion. So I get a little feisty when people are like, oh, this entertainer shouldn't be commenting on blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, they're a person. They can comment. They can have an opinion. They can comment on it. Just because I don't like it maybe sometimes, but it's okay. Then I don't have to, you know, listen to their music or whatever, you know, if I'm that upset about it.
Right. Or agree with what they said. We can agree to disagree and still get along and still not create this sense.
But nobody says stay in their lane when they agree with the person.
I know. You ever know?
It's like the same people that go, oh, well, this genre is getting too political now.
Right.
It's all political, this, that, and the other. And you ever notice that people only complain about the genre getting like that when it's some politics they don't agree with?
Yep. Yeah,
like whenever like the story is like going along with stuff that they're fine with, even though like those kind of moral political opinions are being expressed, suddenly we have nothing to say.
But the minute it crosses that line, then all of a sudden the floodgates open and you're alienating me and I am one of your readers and you shouldn't do that. And be quiet, stay in your lane, don't talk about anything in your life beyond what you write. And that just chapped my ass so much.
It's kind of weird because it's like there's an idea that I count myself as an entertainer. Like, I'm an author, but listen, I'm not writing you know, the next great American novel. I'm not writing textbooks. I am writing stuff to entertain people. And the whole idea that entertainers should somehow, like, we got to like exist in this weird like vacuum of pure neutrality. I'm like, what? But like, we're human beings. We're, you know.
Yeah. And it's funny too, because just recently I saw a repost of something that Elie Wiesel, who wrote the famous Holocaust novel. Now I'm going to forget the name of it. That's terrible. It's right on the tip of my tongue. But anyways, he essentially wrote, anyone who doesn't express their opinion is complicit in bad things happening. If everyone stays silent because they don't want to rock the boat or create tension, this is how things like the Holocaust happen. And I know it's a stretch. I realize it's very much a stretch to be using that in terms of.
Well, you're not equating it. You're making an example of.
Right.
You know, it's a hyperbolic example compared to like the world of writing books and
exactly. But it's still, I don't know. It just, it sticks in my craw. It's why I know way back when we were first going over the episodes and we talked about this one, I said, this one is a little bit of a hot button one for me, because as I've grown into my writing brand, for lack of a better term, I feel like, okay, well, yeah, like what happened a couple of weeks ago, I have to censor myself to a certain degree. And it's because I don't want to alienate my audience, any of my audience, whether they agree with any opinion I express or not. I don't want to alienate them. I also don't want to create an online presence where people go, you know what? I really don't want to be in his group, or I don't want to look at his page because it's always filled with conflict and people
controversial stuff.
Yeah, and I just, that doesn't appeal to me, which I would totally understand. And so, yeah, it's a hot button issue, but at the same time, I still find myself, and I'm still doing it to this day. I've done it probably half a dozen times this week alone, where I've said, "Oh, I want to post about that," or respond to that, and I've said, you know what? No, maybe not. Maybe it's better if I just let other people say something, and I'll just pull back and look at the thread and chuckle and laugh. And I've even, I hate to say this, I know some people are probably going to go, "Oh my God, we love Pun Daddy. Why are you doing?" I've pulled back away from some of that too, because when it first started happening, and I was like, "Oh, this is so beautiful! I love this. People are engaging, and I've taken on this persona of Pun Daddy, the daddy who hates puns." And you know, I thought, "Well,
which, considering the nature of dad jokes, is pretty ironic." You got to admit,
yeah, it is. But I totally dug that. I still dig it. I thought maybe if I get to vehement or about, you know, "Oh, puns are terrible. Oh my gosh, I can't believe you posted
maybe
that."
Maybe newer people to the joke won't understand, yes, that it's like we're all in on this fun like thing we're doing together, and like, whoa, Shane's really intense.
Yeah, and he hates puns. What kind of author or writer is he?
I know, right?
Puns are magical, and they're lovely, and they are. They're phenomenal wordplay.
Just going to cut that soundbite out and just post it in your group, man.
Asshole shitposting. Wow, you'd do me like that, wouldn't you, Aris? You'd do me like that. Nah. Oh man.
Hey, listen, there was some April tomfoolery going on okay, April 1st, and you will notice who did not participate. This guy, yeah, right here. So I'm on your team, man. I'm on Team Starrett.
Okay. but honestly, I think we both agree. It's just not a good feeling. And in a perfect world, we wouldn't have to even have this discussion. We wouldn't be doing this episode right now. In a perfect world, all people would realize that everyone is entitled to an opinion. And sure, there you can take that to extremes. And I think none of what we're talking about right now has to do with anything like that kind of extreme. But even to the fact that we have to, someone like me, who's had all of these wonderful, incredible readers and authors play into this little Pun Daddy thing that we created together, to have to now find myself going, you know, maybe I should pull back a little bit because I don't want to upset someone. I don't want to upset, like you just said, a new reader who might see this for the first time and go,
wow, like they just showed up and they're like, "Oh, that's a theme in this group." And then you're responding, but they don't understand that there's kind of some humor to it.
Right. That it's being done, you know, with tongue in cheek and sarcastically, and that I'm playing into that, you know, the Pun Daddy persona. And I just find that a little sad. I really do. I find it.
But know, I mean, you know, and that's kind of the nature of just interacting socially with a bunch of people. I mean, you have a day job. I know you're out in the field more now than you were in the past, but you know, think about your average office day job, or any kind of, you know, I've had office jobs, I've had retail jobs. You got to be around other people, and you got to tone down certain humor. You got to chill with the language. You got to like not talk about X, Y, and Z topic, because you're just like, listen, I'm here to accomplish X, Y, and Z, and this stuff is not necessarily going to help me. So I got to just rein it in.
Is a really, really, really good analogy that I had not even considered. It is a lot like office politics, isn't it?
But the point is that you're experienced at doing this. So it's like, on one hand, it sucks because it's like, you don't want to have to do that. And part of you goes, well, I'm online, this is freedom. But at the same time, this is a business kind of, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like your author brand is its own whole little kind of thing. I mean, all our author brands are to us. So to some extent, it is a business and we are having to look at it in that way.
Yeah, exactly. We're having to look at these social media outlets that we have where, like you said, we can engage it with people. And we have to do these things. We have to know and learn how to mitigate the risks, how to control posts and threads when they do get out of hand. And it's something that we have to have in the back of our heads at all times.
And I think it's advantageous if you come from a background, like I said, if you've had these kind of jobs in the past where you have to get along with a bunch of people, or heaven forbid, you have to manage a bunch of people, been in that position many times. We know how to act. Like we know how to behave ourselves. So it shouldn't be too much trouble, but it doesn't make it any less, frustrating sometimes because you feel like, oh, the reins are on and I can't do this. But
right. So it's essentially saying all is not fair in love and romance writing. That's the takeaway, is that it would be, like I said, it would be in a perfect world, we would be able to do all of these things, but we are our own spokespeople. I mean, I know that a lot of us have a PA, but the PA don't really speak for us beyond what we allow them to speak for us.
But beyond whatever the agreement is with that author and people who are doing that kind of thing for them, PAs and what have you.
Right. So by and large, we're our own spokespeople. And so we're always trying to build an audience. We're always trying to build our brand. And we have to be cognizant that, you know, if we go... not to use that, you know, to solidify that term, but if we go outside of our lanes too far, we run the risk of readers potentially upsetting readers
or other authors. Yeah. By the way, because this especially the romance genre it's very a community focused genre, and so suddenly, you know, you run your mouth about some topic and it turns out it is not the popular opinion in the community, then all of a sudden now amongst other authors, they're just, oh, that person. You know what I mean? Like now suddenly that people aren't, not as many DMs, all like, you know what I mean? Like you're not included. It's kind of, I don't go all TikTok, but you're like, now there's a shadow ban. No.
Yeah. But still, no, you do. You run the risk of, you know, we all together as romance writers have community. Jennifer Bonnet calls it tribe. We have tribe. And if you express, potentially, if you express a unfavorable opinion about something, you run the risk of being, you know, ostracized from that tribe. And yes, again, if it's extreme sorts of things, it's understandable. I think we can all agree that there are certain things that, yes, no one wants to go, well, that's okay. That's just the way he is or the way she is. And
right. Yeah. Nobody's seeing a post about somebody that's like, hey man, this weekend, I thought it was a good idea to like drown some puppies or something.
And
Nobody's going to say that's cool.
Right.
We're talking about stuff that's, you know, not that level of extreme.
Right. Like, again, I'll keep using Pun Daddy because why not beat that dead horse? But if there had been like this universally understood agreement within the romance writing community, author community, that you do not talk about puns. And I went out there and was just like, puns suck. I hate puns. Yeah. Fight Club. There you go. I could have really done some damage to my brand and to my personal.
Shane made some very divisive statements about the Oxford comma. Ostracized from an assortment of writer community.
Exactly.
We're laughing, but I mean, I feel like generally by the time you're an adult, though, your experience as a human being, unless you've been in complete isolation, has kind of got to prepare you for some of this, though, right?
Oh, absolutely.
I think we all kind of realize that we don't exist in a vacuum.
Like, absolutely.
You can't just do whatever and then not expect any kind of consequences, good or bad. Like you have to, if you're going to do something, don't be surprised when other people react. And maybe some people aren't going to like that. And then take it in whatever direction that goes. I mean, I can't just let an exotic parrot out in Southern California and act like nothing's going to happen. Anybody who lives in SoCal will now be laughing because swarms of
parrots,
like South American parrots everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. And there, as we were we're discussing here. Yes, we all know there are touchy subjects that are just too taboo to openly discuss. And I don't mean that in the taboo way that we all love in some of
Not the kinky way. No.
Not the kinky taboo way. There are just some subjects that are too taboo to discuss. And it is. It's like, okay, so even though our stories touch on what a lot of people might say, well, that's taboo. You're writing a rape story.
That's problematic. That's my favorite word.
Yeah. Within the community, we would get a pass for that because that's just part of who we are in the community that we've surrounded ourselves with.
Well, I'm just going back to the dark romance episode. I would look up right now and see which episode that was, but I don't think I'm fast enough for that. But going back to that, I mean, even that sort of thing, like, yeah, we get a pass from the people who are fans of that content, but like as we've said, there's a lot of larger pool of people that we don't get a pass from.
Absolutely.
That's why there are consequences to writing that stuff, because a lot of people will be like calling you out in reviews, you know, getting personal, getting nasty.
Right. That's the 1-star reviews that say this is
this person needs therapy.
Right. This person there. Perfect. Perfect. This person needs therapy. This person is condoning sexual slavery. You get that. Now, that being said, I think that here again, this is the risk mitigation, risk management portion of what we talked about earlier, which is we know that because this is the genre that we're writing in. So we expect a certain amount of that. I guess knowing that and then still having it happen for things that, you know, you would not expect to have get called out for or to cause conflict. It sort of makes you doubly gun shy. I mean, it's like, oh, geez, you know, I write dark romance. You'd think anything I would have to say about the author community or the guilds, the writers guilds, or what happened with the RWA. But yeah, it's just it's one of those things where you would think that, okay, so these are really, really, really open-minded people because this is the community and this is the genre I'm writing in. So they have to be open-minded, and not necessarily so. I mean, people do have opinions.
And everybody's got their hot button stuff, you know what I mean? Like everybody's got, you know, they might be in general at one point along the spectrum of ideologies, but there might be this one pet issue that, you know, relates back to some incident that happened in their life or, you know, whatever their personal mission is, that like you just happened to push the button with that comment and you didn't know.
Yeah.
How'd you know? But that was like that person's personal like soapbox that they've got to get on every time because they feel very strongly about it.
Right. And so there again, you start this whole spiral of, well, should I comment? I want to comment, but I'm not going to comment because I'm afraid it might cause a problem. Really? You're going to censor yourself? You should comment. I want to comment. You know, it just goes round and round and round like a merry-go-round. And it's just not a good feeling. This is one of those subjects where it's not one that you have a lot of, you can come out of it going, wow, I really feel empowered now because all of the issues that I thought I had regarding this are completely wiped away. Because I don't think they can be. I just think it's inherent in a social media driven industry and world that we live in that you, when you're putting yourself out there as an entertainer, as you said, you always hear people talk about, well, if you're going to be an author, you better have a real thick skin because you're going to get 1-star reviews and you're going to get people saying what you write is shit.
Well, which is fine in relation to the books themselves.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
But now we compared to back in the day when, you know, you had to sit down and actually write a letter with a pen and a piece
and
of paper.
And you'd send it to the publisher and then hope they give it to the author.
And the hope they give it. Right. Exactly. Now our readers and audience have instantaneous access to us in that regard. And I love it on the one hand, but there is a dark side to it.
I want to talk about an angle that we haven't touched on yet. Because we've been talking about the self-doubt. Oh, do I make this comment? Do I not make this comment? Do I make a public statement about this? Do I not? Do I like, you know, include this? Do I share this meme or is it going to cause a whole thing? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's like a moral conflict. And that's, you know, that's our own internal existential wrangling that we've got to do, which is fine. But there's another angle And that is a very practical angle. I'm a practical person, very tangible, focused. I like to touch things, fondle them. And that is, how dependent is this author or entertainer or whatever upon their writing income to live? Which really boils down to, do you have the fuck you money to just say whatever you want? And you know, consequences be damned. Because there might be some, you know, Stephen King can say whatever the fuck he wants, and he does.
Yeah.
And I love him for it. But the point is that, like, he has the fuck you money to say what he wants. Like, tiny little heiress, I'm not going to talk about myself in third person, but I don't have that money. So yeah. I got to go, you know, how much alienation of people is worth the risk of me saying this or commenting or sharing or whatever.
That is,
and I think that's a very real consideration, like, absolutely. Aside from, again, the moral considerations of, you know, and when I had a day job, I wouldn't have given a shit as much, but this is my whole living now. So now I got to go, how many readers can I afford to alienate? I mean, and granted, sometimes you might alienate X number of people, but the fact that you made that statement and it's visible out there in public, you know, Y number of people, that the majority of whom are silent and just read the post and had an opinion but didn't comment, maybe those people, you got some new fans, and maybe they're like, I like the cut of this author's jib, I'm going to go check out their stuff. Who knows?
But
you don't know what those things are. So you've got to go, is this worth the risk?
Right. There's no tangible metrics to know that from. Unless you got a huge outpouring of responses and they just drowned out the negative ones. You don't know it. You make that, and the squeaky wheel got heard, and you made your decision. Well, I'm not going to do that again based upon that one squeaky wheel. You don't have any idea how many people out there you might have said, I agree with him, he's right, you know, because either they didn't respond, because they felt no need to, because they're like, I, you know.
Well, and a lot of people on the internet are lurking. People are making comments. They don't have time. They don't, you know, they just don't feel like engaging. They don't want other people in the thread to start attacking them. They just, you know, they got to move on.
Yeah. Because again, especially with.
That's usually me.
But that's a function of the times that you grew up in, and how accessible you are to social media, and just have that expectation that, you know, I don't need to respond. It's just something I grew up with, or I don't feel like I have to do that because it's not part of how you use social media. A lot of people, and I'm not trying to be age-centric here, but I'll say people my age feel like, well, if somebody says something online, it's almost like getting a letter from somebody and you have to respond to that. You can't ignore it. Just like somebody,
I have not heard that before.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's almost like people that come up to you in a conversation, you're always taught, well, be polite. Even if you disagree with them, be polite. Nowadays, there are people that have that carryover from the social media that they grew up with, where they will just walk away. They won't respond because they don't feel like they have to. They can ignore it. I see it with my own children to a certain degree. I've seen my own kids just like turn away from people because they disagreed with them and they didn't feel like they should have had to respond or react, rolling their eyes and snorting and then walking away from something like that, because you could do it. And again,
there's a level of like, how important is this? It's some random dude at the McDonald's that like says something. How much do I care whether I'm like super polite to this random person that I'm never going to see? You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Is this important to me? Is this a relationship I need to maintain? Do I need to like invest my time in this human being? And sometimes the answer is no.
Right. And yeah, that we've heard people talk about it, that sort of carryover from that kind of world that people have grown up in recently, carrying over into the real world. So it's reality versus fantasy, so to speak. Online, in theory, you could always consider fantasy because it's just pixels on a screen. It's just noise being projected in your head. You and I know each other. I've met you. You know, I love you. And you know how much I care about you because I've broken bread with you. I've sat across the table from you and your husband. I've driven to your home. So to me, even though right now we can't see each other, you are a tangible thing that I can grasp, so to speak. But if you and I were just two people, you know, that had chit-chatted, which is how I know how our relationship started, so the irony is not lost on me. But if we had just chit-chatted, I don't know that I would have that same level of emotional connection. And a lot of interactions online are that way because it's just pixels on a screen. So yeah, I might think that that person is wonderful in what they've said. And then one thing, they say one thing, they make one post, and everything I thought about them from that point forward is changed and colored. And we've talked about this too with social media, is it, because it is just words, subtext is lost. So that person may have made that comment in jest or trying to be sarcastic or, you know, wink, wink.
I can't tell you how many times, I mean, listen, you've been around me, and if you listen to the podcast, well, like, I have a very dry sense of humor.
Yeah.
And dry humor does not always translate super obviously online. I mean, people, again, people who I know, who I've met in person, who have talked to me and heard my tones, go, okay, I get what's happening here. But just random strangers, I can't tell you how many times I've made a comment or posted, and someone in the, you know, replies, will, they come out of nowhere and they're trying to educate me on the topic.
Right.
And I'm just like, okay, clearly my sense of humor is not coming across. Because basically whatever it was I posted or said was being taken as I am dead serious.
Exactly.
Like, and here's I will give an example of something that's not like politically controversial or anything like that. So I follow this Twitter account, which if you read the types of books that we write, you should. It's called Horrors of Yore. I don't know if you follow Horrors of Yore.
No,
but it's basically all historical,
yeah,
erotic related content. You know, art, photography, literature, that sort of thing.
Yeah,
and it's funny. There's entertainment to it, but it's also kind of interesting historically. Anyway, so there was a post on the account like I don't know, a while back, probably last year, and it was a Victorian era photograph, and there were two women who were either mostly or partially naked, whatever. And like most Victorian, you know, it's in a studio. There's all this kind of,
oh yeah,
very, very, what's the word I'm looking for? Staged. There we go. But again, you see most of these pictures and the people are just kind of like, it's almost like a Renaissance painting. Everybody's kind of laying around. Like everybody just looks very languid.
Right.
And so I had made a comment, like, again, dry humor. So I don't remember what the comment was, but it was something about the, just some generic, like, haha about that, how they always look like that. You know what I mean? Right. And I don't know if I made some comment about like Opium Den, cause there was a lot going on, which, you know, anyway, the point is that here came the comment replies, and the comment replies were educating me on how, in early photography, they had very long exposures. And so people had to adopt like relaxed poses because you couldn't hold it. I'm like, y'all, I have an art degree. Like, I had multiple years of photography and art. Like, I know early. It was just so frustrating because it's that kind of stuff though. It's like,
absolutely,
no context, man. It's, you know, these people are just like, this person's an idiot and I need to like educate them. I was just
tracking
wise over here.
Right. I was just trying to make a joke. I'm so sorry.
Right. Yeah. And it's stuff like that. And I get frustrated sometimes because I'm just like, okay, there's no humor. We're not allowed to have humor.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's frustrating. It's like, you think, a lot of times you think, well, there's no possible way anyone could think I'm being serious because they all know me, except the reality is they don't all know me. And especially if there's someone new. And so they may come into this, or if I'm going into a new group where they don't know me, or into a thread, you know, a tangential thread to some other group that I'm in, and they don't know me, and I make a comment like that, and all of a sudden, yeah, I'm being educated on how, you know, well, you have to understand, and it's like, ah, I'm so sorry. And you have to explain yourself.
Right. And then you just look like an asshole.
Right.
Because you're like, oh, I'm being misunderstood. I need to clarify this so people understand me. And it just comes off like you're being argumentative.
Right.
You know, and then it's just and like, okay, we're done here. I'm out.
Right. And that's, and a lot of times that's exactly what happens is that you're trying to say, no, I'm really not that person. I'm this person. And here's why. And that, and then you know, they're like, oh, so you think you know better than I do? I have a degree. And it's like, oh my gosh, this is blowing up.
Yeah. This
in
is
my
becoming
face.
A whole thing. Never mind. I'm out. I'm
right.
Out.
And so there again, you have that whole, I shouldn't be doing this. Da 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 da. And so at some point, you can either risk manage yourself into just never commenting online and going back to being like one of the old timey authors where, you know, you're just this hermit.
You just hide and hand your manuscript to a publisher every couple of years.
Right. And I don't know. Maybe it is because I'm an extrovert. I can't see myself ever doing that. So now I'm in this position where I censor myself at times. I didn't in the beginning. And there were a couple of instances where I had people I love dearly call me out and say, hey, walk it back a little bit.
No, hey man, just so you know. Yeah. Like everything, yeah. Everything is you're going to weigh the, you know, what are the potential consequences if I say this? And are those consequences such that they matter enough to me that I would like to avoid them? Because again, maybe they don't matter to you. Maybe this is not your, you know, living. This is not your income. And, you know, fuck people if they disagree with you. Fuck off. Get off my page.
Right. Or like you said, maybe not that I ever think this is going to happen, but if you are a Stephen King and you've got that kind of fuck you money, you can just say what you want to say. Because you know what? Even if you piss people off, you've already made your nut. And the likelihood is, and this is one of the things that I think is important in someone like his, is he's already found his like-minded fellow travelers. Listen, he's been writing books long enough. His books definitely have a very specific tone and bent to them. It comes out in his writing.
I mean, even if you just follow the guy on Twitter, it's, yes, in 5 seconds, you're going to know where he's at politically.
Right.
I will say as an aside, I like how we're just assuming, though, like a lot of things about Stephen. Like, we don't fucking know what his financial situation is. He could owe like $10 million to the mom. We don't know. You know what I mean? Like we just assume he has all this money.
You're absolutely right.
Stephen King's like, send help, I'm eating ramen. No, I'm just kidding. No. He's not, but I'm just making the point of like, we just holding this dude up as an example because he's a household name, but we don't know.
True. I could use another name that would be seen quite probably in a little bit more negative light.
Yeah, I know which name, but yeah, I get it.
But and in that particular case, I know good goddamn well that person's got buttloads of money.
Yeah, they do.
And they can afford to have that fuck you attitude. Me, I'm not at that position. And yet
the consequences are still there. They've alienated a whole shit ton of people.
Yep.
And that's, you know, obviously they feel strongly enough to not care.
Yep.
But again, those of us who are, you know, just kind of making a normal workaday living out of the thing, we do have to go, can I afford to piss off half my readers?
Yeah. Can I afford to potentially say something that is going to drive business away from me? And the answer to that, at least in my case, is twofold. No. One, because of a bit of the business aspect of it. Two, it is because of my personality. I mean, I have had a good friend tell me just recently, you want to be liked by people. And that's why you have a difficult time telling people no or telling people this isn't right.
Why you got to come for me like that, Shane? Why you got to attack me?
I'm not attacking you. I'm not.
No, I know. I'm just joking. I'm just like.
Again. But it's true. It's true. In my particular case, it's absolutely true. Is I want to be liked by my readers, and so I did on that particular subject. I obsessed for a good, it's close to a week, I would say, from beginning to end. I obsessed over this one stupid 3 hour long lasted thread about a subject that was, I have a passionate feeling about the subject, but it wasn't something that I really needed to, in hindsight, to express an opinion about. I mean, but I felt like at the end of the day, I felt like, why shouldn't I have been able to do that? And, you know, I can take, like you said,
you were able to, but you know, sometimes it happens. You hit a nerve with someone and they had to reply back and, you know,
yep.
We all got to just understand that risk is out there.
Yep. And it did. It came with risk and it came with consequences. And I had to face those consequences. It's the first time I've ever had to do that, Eris. I had to shut a thread down.
Oh, no.
I literally was calling Nikki going, how do I do this? I've never
Nikki
had to do
is,
this.
Nikki is Shane's PA. She's also PA, but like, yeah. So for anyone listening who's not, who the hell is this person?
Yeah. Thank you. I apologize. I assume everyone knows that.
In our little circle, everyone knows who Nikki is because she's like literally helping all of us survive.
She's one of the greatest PAs out there. And she's worth every penny. I was like, I don't know how to do this. And she was like, calm down. Let me tell you how you do this. And
she's a big pro at bringing people back to reality, which I need. Thank you very much.
Well, and in that case, I like to think, I'm this big bad Dom and I don't need help, but I will tell you, honest to God, I was like, how do I do this? I was in a little bit of a panic there because again, my depth of knowledge about social media is like, I can type the funny post and I can put up the funny picture and stuff like that. But when it came to doing something like that, that I had never experienced before, I was like, shit. I gotta nip this in the bud. What's going on here? I gotta shut this goddamn thing down. And yeah, so it was not a good feeling. It was an uncomfortable feeling.
Well, and like sometimes, there's stuff out there and you go, I'm choosing not to even look at this. I'm not going to get... Like, for example, like something you didn't initiate, but you're like, I'm seeing it and I'm just gonna not get involved in this.
Yep.
I will give you an example. And I get to this day, I've never gone and looked. But a couple months ago, someone was telling me that that Bass Ackwards was getting like, there was a mini Twitter storm going on about it of it, being problematic and I didn't look, but I, from what I gathered from what the person was telling me, it's the standard, you're setting feminism back 100 years and basically trying to manage what women fantasize about. But specifically that book. And I'm just like, I'm not even going to look. I'm going to just not go on Twitter. Cause it's like, why am I going to look? I'm going to get upset. And then what, the temptation to engage will be there.
Yes.
And
engage,
it's a whole thing. It's the same wisdom that says, don't respond to reviews. Even if they're good reviews, don't do it because those forums are for readers to have those discussions and they aren't going to have real discussions if they think the author is listening. Well, some of them still will, but a lot of them will be like, eh.
Yeah.
And I want people to have that opportunity, but it's like, yeah, I don't need to go torture myself by looking at it.
Yeah.
The same way I hate, I will only go look at my Amazon reviews if I absolutely have to.
And I mean, we're taught that we shouldn't, that is, I don't know, it's especially true for people that get very upset with criticism, but still we're taught, don't do it. Don't look at it because if you don't deal well with criticism, it's probably going to upset you and give you anxiety and sleepless nights. Or if you're someone who feels like you need to respond and explain yourself, you're going to want to do it. And the minute you do that, you've lost
control.
You're
just digging a hole. Like there's no, and I will say though, that like responding to reviews and that kind of stuff is probably a different bucket than making political commentary by itself. And I'm not talking about you wrote a story and the story had themes and, does the author have these moral opinions, blah, blah, blah. I'm talking about, I posted on Facebook about I voted for this person or this law is stupid or whatever. You know what I mean? I'm talking about direct statements.
Yeah.
I think that and responding to reviews, while there's some levels of them being related, you know what I mean? In terms of like being tempted to engage, I think they're also different things because one of them is like, I'm a human being, I have opinions. And the other one is, what is the agreement? Like, what is my contract as an author with the reader of how, like, what's the line? What's what I'm not going to do?
Yeah. What's that social contract that as authors and readers we've made together that says, I wrote this, I want you to read it, but then what? You're not allowed to comment on it. You're not allowed to have an opinion as to whether you found it good or bad. You're supposed to just read it and then put it aside.
You don't see George Lucas arguing with bad reviews.
Granted,
there's another person with fuck you money, but like, I'm just making the point, like
they're not arguing. They're not out there consistently arguing with people about, you know, whether Jar Jar Binks was a good idea or not.
There's no point in engaging. Like for me, I'm just like, I don't have energy for that. I have minimal energy, I have minimal spoons for those of you that that means anything to. I'm like, I need to focus on the next project or the next project is not going to happen.
Yeah. So, well, I think that we've pretty much covered what I hope to cover in this episode. It's not one of those cheery episodes, I realize, but I think it's important. And I think what I would say in closing is that whether we do it or not, rest assured, every author out there, and I know I probably shouldn't be speaking for everyone, but I'm just going to say it anyways. Every author out there has an opinion on every subject that we ever see online. And I know sometimes people think, well, I'm going to write this post on their page and see what they have to say about it. If you do that and we don't respond, it's not because we don't have an opinion on what you've written. It's that we're risk managing. We're risk managing our brand. And sometimes, whether for good or ill, we just can't afford to say what we'd like to say.
And maybe what we'd like to say is even in agreement with that person.
That's right.
But maybe that person and I both have opinions that are kind of outlying.
Yeah.
Know? And then I'm just like, okay, now I know for the most part what topics where I have opinions on that like are not super popular. And so I go, you know what? We're not gonna do that on the Batman profile.
Yep.
Now I will say on the you know, my Bruce Wayne profile. I'm more likely to talk about that stuff, but you know, those people don't have to buy my books. Like, you know what I mean? That's like, you know, family, former coworkers, stuff like that. Like,
yeah. And you're absolutely right.
If you didn't like what I have to say, you know, unfollow me. I don't care.
Right. Because you're not affecting my bottom line, so to speak. But when I'm in my Batman persona and on my Batman page, yeah, everything I do there potentially runs the risk of having a negative impact on my ability to continue telling my stories and having people buy them. And it's just an inescapable truism of what we have to deal with in how we engage on social media.
And I think as a last thing too, I think it's a good thing to talk about, because one part of being an author that is interesting is that, you know, as you said, you're an extrovert, but many authors are not.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, as I was saying earlier, people writing genre fiction they're basically entertainers. People are buying your product to be entertained, to have a good time, to escape. It's a recreational activity for them. So it's a weird thing to suddenly be in, to be an introvert, and yet in the entertainer category. Because a lot of other types of professions that are in the entertainer category don't go as well with introversion. You have to show up places. You know, if I want to play the guitar, I got to show up.
And stand in front of a bunch of people.
Yeah. If I want to be a comedian, I got to go to 9,000 open mic nights and travel. And so it's like, there's no hiding and doing the thing and just handing someone some, you know, zeros and ones over the internet. It's like, so it's a weird, I think it is a weird thing that needs to be talked about for authors, because of how many authors are kind of folks that would rather avoid crowds, be private, be introverted, and then suddenly you're faced with this idea, oh, you're a public figure now. You got to put on a dog and pony show all the
time. That's right. Yep. You got to get out there and engage. Except don't engage.
Right. Don't engage too much. Yeah. Also, we're not going to tell you where the line is.
Right. We're going to put you in this minefield. And you've got to negotiate your way out to the other side. Good luck.
Have a good time. Yeah, pretty much.
All right. Well, you can find the Not Safe for Work Romance podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pandora, and YouTube. And you can follow us on Facebook. We can also be found on Twitter at RomanceNSFW. That's Romance NSFW, all one word. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just search for Shane Sterrett, or look for my group, The House of Sterrett, on Facebook. You can find me also at my website, ShaneSterrett.com, Shane Sterrett, all one word. All of my books can be found on Amazon, available for Kindle in Kindle Unlimited, and also in paperback.
And I'm on Facebook, where you can follow my fan page, or you can join my private group. That's Eris Adderley's Home for Wayward Troublemakers. I'm also on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. I'm not on TikTok that much, but I'm trying to be. I'm trying to make a plan, but you just search for Eris Adderley. I will also say I recently made my TikTok account be a combined account for both Eris and Octavia. So
Content
for both of those things will be coming there. So speaking of Octavia, if you like Dirty Tentacle Aliens, I write all that squirmy stuff under that pen name, Octavia Hyde. In fact, I just put out a second book in my We Are Nepenthe series that's called Host.
So delicious.
And I'm working on the third book as we speak. So with any luck, that'll be out this summer. If you're looking for updates on that, you can search Octavia Hyde. That's H-Y-D-E on all the same social media platforms. You want to read my dirty books? It's all on Amazon. Currently, everything is in Kindle Unlimited.
I cannot begin to tell you how good this feels to finally be back doing a podcast.
I'm glad I'm getting a chance to talk to you again. We've both been just up to our eyeballs in life stuff.
Yep. And that's truly what it's been. I know at the end of last year, I thought, oh, okay, you know what? I'm here. I'm settled in. Things are going well. What could possibly go wrong?
Do not ask that question, Shane. Do not anger the gods.
What's funny is
when you ask that.
Yeah, nothing really went wrong. In fact, things went really, really good in terms of
have a lot of things going right. It's just too many things.
That's right.
You're like, I literally cannot handle all this as one person.
Right. And so then it was like the bandwidth just got sucked up. And literally before I realized it was end of February and I'm like, geez, we haven't done a podcast. We didn't do a podcast for January. We haven't done one for February.
I know. And you get to the stage, you're like, I need to clone myself a couple of times to get all this stuff done.
Yep, exactly. And then, you know, then I went through that existential angst that I told you about when we talked, where I said, oh my God, Eris hates me. She absolutely hates me and loathes me. She hasn't talked to me and it's dead. It's done. We're never going to speak again. And
that's how we know that we both have the same people pleasing thing, because that's also what I was thinking.
I know, right?
Shane has moved on. Shane is rubbing elbows with the big important authors I've been left behind and blah, blah, blah. You know, what all this fucking pity party circle jerk over here.
Yeah, it's true. It was definitely on my end. It was a pity party. It was like, she was my favorite and I loved her so much. And now
it's like, you can't leave me alone or I start catastrophizing.
Yeah. Exactly.
I cannot be left by myself.
If you go radio silent on me, I immediately assume it's because, oh, that son of a bitch. Thank God I'm finally rid of him.
Meanwhile, we're probably both silent because we're both like, oh, they're busy. I don't want to
bother them. Exactly. Exactly. I don't want to bother them. I'm going to come off as, you know, some sort of, you know, greedy little self-absorbed asshole that's like, pay attention to me. Pay attention to me.
Yeah, the internal thing. Nobody wants to hear about your fucking problems. Other people have their own problems.
Yeah,
and then you're like, hey, it's the next year. What
happened? Yeah, what just happened? Where did all the fucking time go? Holy crap. So, but we're not going to let that happen. We are going to be doing more episodes here real soon. We're going to consider and we're going to look at and play around with doing what we talked about earlier in the episode with the live recording, pre-recorded stuff. And it's going
to
be great.
Look forward to that. We look forward to some author interviews.
And good stuff. Also, books coming out. Just saying. Not going to say anything more
from
than
us.
That.
We're going to write books.
Yeah, I think you know that. Okay, you literally just mentioned that you were coming out with something.
I'm being a smartass.
Oh, okay. I know. You know what? We're not talking
about an author. What kind of tomfoolery?
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Shane. Have a good night.
You too.